Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you
Welcome to Broadway's Greenwood Campus. If I haven't had the chance to meet you quite yet, I'm Pastor Laura, and we are together in a new sermon series that we launched last week that's focusing in on the wonder years of Jesus, Jesus' own coming of age. We discussed last week how this is actually a part of Jesus' life that we don't know all that much about, that we have to wonder about, because the writers of the Gospels, they just don't tell us that much about this young years that Jesus had. However, we are taking a few weeks to focus in on the handful of stories that we are given in the Gospel of Luke. And why? Well, it's our hope that as we come in and we look and dig into these stories that we are given, that we will recover that same sense of wonder that broke out all over the place when Jesus showed up. We figure if the story of salvation began with wonder, then surely that is where salvation begins for us as well. Now, many of you guys know that I am a mother to a one-year-old. This is Sam. Maybe. There he is. This is Sam. And Sam, he these days finds wonder kind of everywhere. You know, there's wonder behind every corner. There's wonder behind every locked door. There's wonder looming above him in every ceiling fan. But whenever Sam was first born, it was the dead of winter. It was super cold outside. So we stayed kind of locked up for months, 4 or 5 months, just being cozy. We were cooped up in there. But I will never forget the very first time that we were able to break out, where it got warm enough for us to go out on a walk. And this was the expression that was on Sam's face like the entire time. You know, as we walked around, Sam, his face just lit up. He could see the wind kind of rustling through the leaves above him, and he giggled out loud trying to figure out where it was coming from. He heard a dog bark, and he stretched and he strained his neck in every direction trying to figure out what magical creature was making such a fun sound. And then he could see the sun kind of dancing on his toes, and his eyes just grew wide, glistening with delight. And somewhere along the way on this walk, it kind of hit me, you know, like, when was the last time that I stopped and had any wonder about any of this at all? You know, when was the last time that I stopped to even notice it instead of ignoring it or even considering it kind of a nuisance that was getting in my way? Right now, the most magical part of Sam's existence is found in our kitchen. He loves our microwave. And so, you know, day after day, like, I have to pick him up. And he's not light, you guys. So that he can reach up and he can get the door. And then this is what we do over and over again. He opens the door and smiles. And then he closes it back again. And then he'll open the door and smile and do it again. And it goes on and on and on, you know. So for him, it's very exciting. But for me, you know, I get bored with it pretty fast, you know. Like, I've seen this happen a few times. And so a few nights ago, I was holding him up there, and he was doing his thing. And after he'd done it about 4 times, I got a little distracted. I reached down to pick up my phone, and he pulled that door back as hard as he could just in time to, like, nail me right in the forehead. And it was this wake-up for me. You know, it was like he was saying to me, "Hey, Mom, hello, don't you see this amazing thing that is happening right here in your face?" And I think he was on to something there. You know, something seems to happen as we progress past the wonder years of our lives. By the time we become adults, we've been there and we've done that, right? And we've gotten the T-shirt to prove it, right? We've tasted and we've seen, and so our sense of wonder, it begins to wane. What once sparkled with excitement has now become mundane, and what once dazzled us with fascination has become commonplace. The world is no longer shiny and new to us. It's lost its thrill as we've come to see that it has its fair share of dents and dings, and that our world certainly doesn't always work properly. But here's the thing. As adults, it's not that our world has become any less filled with wonder than when we were young, but rather that we have kind of stopped looking for it. When it stops coming so natural for us, many times we just stop expecting it. But what if we could reverse that? What if we could recover that same sense of wonder that we once had again today? What if we started seeing the beauty that was right there in between all of the dents and dings? And what if we started perceiving the awe-inspiring that was right there in the middle of our world not working properly? Today's story from the Wonder Years of Jesus focuses in on two people who did just that. Two people who were somehow able to intentionally cultivate wonder in their lives, even as they grew much older up on in their years. Two people who learned to live with their eyes peeled for what God was doing that could wow them right in the midst of their everyday. And so as a result, they stood ready. They stood prepared. They stood looking for God to just blow them away. This event happens when Jesus is just over a month old. Whenever Mary would have given birth to Jesus, she would have been considered unclean for 40 days. After just a week, she would have been ritually bathed. And so she would have been made a little less unclean, but for an additional 33 days, she was still at kind of this secondary level of impurity. And so for these 33 additional days, 40 days total, she wasn't allowed to touch anything holy. And she wasn't allowed to go into the sanctuary. And then in order to fully be purified and restored back to the community, she needed to journey to the temple in Jerusalem and make a sacrifice there. The temple in Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish world at that time. It held the utmost of sacred significance for the Jewish people. And this is what they believe it would have looked like in the day of Jesus. Now, this place is a little unlike a lot of the other temples at that time or even since. Many of the other temples that are built in other religions are meant to kind of be this escape from our world. However, this temple, it was built to be a reminder, to be a sign that the God who created the world and everything in it actually wanted back into it. It was built as this place where people would walk in and recognize that heaven was reaching down to earth. They looked at this place and they believed that this was the place where God's presence dwelt right in their midst. And so this place was the focal point of life for the Jewish people. And it was the place that was a beacon of hope for them. It was God's toehold on earth. And within its walls, sins were forgiven. Outcasts were reconciled. People found significance and lives discovered divine purpose. This temple was a window into heaven right here on earth. It was to this temple that Mary and Joseph journeyed with their one-month-old Jesus. As they came, as very pious and faithful Jews, they would have been coming to present Jesus, their firstborn son, to the Lord. And then also for Mary to complete this purification rite. If she were rich, she would have brought with her a one-year-old lamb and then would have offered also like one pigeon or one dove. However, if you were poor, you would only come with no lamb at all and just offer two doves or two pigeons to God. Luke tells us that Mary came offering that latter sacrifice, pointing to the humble home from which the Savior of the world would come. Of course, Mary and Joseph, they weren't the only people at this temple that day. As they entered in, there were masses of people that would have been there from absolutely everywhere. They too would have been coming to make their sacrifices and to worship and to pray. And not only would the visitors have been there, but there would have been all kinds of people who worked there as well. There would have been priests going about their duties. There would have been professor types who were studying and discussing the law. There would have been peddlers who were offering up to you everything that you needed to make your temple experience successful. It was a busy and very bustling place. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. Imagine all of the people that Mary and Joseph had to walk past in the temple that day. Consider all the people that they literally rubbed shoulders with and bumped into as they moved through the temple to make their sacrifice. But almost no one noticed as God himself come in the flesh who had come to dwell among them, was moving through the very place where God's people believed that God's presence dwelt. Almost none of them recognized, as heaven come to earth in the person of Jesus was being processed by his parents into the very place where God's people believed that heaven and earth met. It was this amazing, wonderful, beautiful, hope-filled moment. A wonder of wonders was taking place. God had shown up and come among his people in this new way. But all of these people, they missed it. They were there in the temple, and they just kept going on about their business like it was any normal day. They were at the temple doing good things, right? They were doing their religious duties. They were doing what the law required of them. They were working hard to be religious and devout. But perhaps over the years, their sense of wonder had waned as well. Maybe they were still going through all the motions and they were doing all the right things, but they weren't really expecting God to show up and do anything in them or in their world. Perhaps they had become so focused on what they were doing for God that they had stopped looking for God himself. However, among the great crowds of people in that temple that day, there were two people who got it. There were two people who saw what was happening, two people who recognized the gravity and the glory of what was taking place right in front of their face. Their names were Simeon and Anna, and neither one of them were like famous religious leaders of the day. Neither one of them were particularly special or elite, but there was one thing that did set them apart, one thing that did make them different, and that thing was this. Somehow, they had held on to their sense of wonder rather than letting it wane away. They were at the temple that day, not just going through the motions, but they were truly and deeply expecting God to show up and to do something, to change things. It was a time in which it would have been very easy for them to come to the temple to escape, right? To come there trying to get away from everything that was going on around them. They were constantly surrounded by these reminders that the world was not as it should be, that our world was not working properly, as every day they saw these different reminders of oppression and injustice that came along with being ruled over by a foreign enemy. It would have been very easy for them to come to that temple that day to hide, saying, God, you know, can't you just come and like whisk us away? But these two people came to the temple remembering that the God who made the world still wanted back into it. They came to the world believing and trusting that heaven was actually reaching down to earth in that very place. And furthermore, they came clinging to this hope that that was just the beginning. That one day, God's presence was just going to explode and expand from that place to include absolutely everyone, everywhere. Simeon, he had been hoping for this consolation of Israel for years. He'd been waiting for the day when God would come and comfort his disappointed and his defeated people by sending his chosen one, the Messiah, who would set things right in the world. In fact, the Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen this very thing. And so I can just imagine, you know, Simeon waking up every day and being like, is this it? You know, is today the day? Every moment held the potential for this amazing, extraordinary thing to take place. Luke says that the Holy Spirit told Simeon to go into to the temple courts that day. And when he saw Jesus, do you know what he did? In his awe and in his amazement, he took the baby Jesus right into his arms. How many parents of young children are in the room today? Quite a few of us, right? So let's think about this. You go into a crowded public place, and someone reaches out to take your one-month-old. What are you going to do, right? I don't know about you, but I'd be like yelling, security, and totally questioning this man's sanity. However, as Simeon is holding Jesus, his parents must have gotten the hint that everything was okay, because Simeon breaks out into praise. Filled with wonder, he starts to proclaim, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In short, Simeon says, I can now die a happy man, Because this thing that I have been hoping for in my head and in my heart all these years is now in my hands. His eyes had seen the salvation of the world that had come to be among everyone and to save them all, Jews and Gentiles, near and far. He does warn Mary that this is going to come at a cost, that there's going to be opposition to this baby and what he has come to do, and that it would pierce her own heart. However, while Mary and Joseph are still standing there just marveling about what this man has said about their son, there's someone else who comes up and joins this party that's going on. Anna was from the line of Phanuel and from the tribe of Asher, which, you know, with it being there in the Bible, you might think really means something, but it really tells us that she wasn't from anywhere special. She wasn't from some great line. However, the fact that she was an elderly widow who had remained unmarried for 84 years, that did give her some great respect within her community. In the absence of her marriage relationship, she had committed her life to God. She was regarded as a prophet, someone who not so much foretold the future as proclaimed the promises of God and the truth of God for today. And so here was Anna. She was going to the temple every single day. Day and night, the scripture says. She was worshiping and fasting and praying. She, like Simeon, was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so when she sees Jesus in the temple that day, what does she do? She takes off right over toward him. And she, too, breaks out into praise as all these other people just keep walking on by. But Anna, she's thanking God that she has finally seen this one that she has been longing for, that he has finally arrived. Think about that amazing moment that Simeon and Anna got to be a part of. Can you imagine it? Getting to meet God himself come in the flesh, getting to encounter heaven who had come to earth and this person to live among us. But they both grasped it. They both got what was happening in that temple that day because they had been very, very intentional about not letting their sense of wonder wane, even in their old age. Day after day, they were on the lookout for God. They were watching and they were waiting with expectant eyes. And the result was that they stood ready to see God whenever he showed up. You know, they got to see God right there in their midst when everyone else missed it. They got to experience the joy and the peace and the thrill and the excitement of seeing how God was showing up and setting things right in their world, right, rather than just walking right past it and going on by. I don't know about you all, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to walk on past when God is showing up in my midst. I want to stand ready for God to show up. I want to stand ready to recognize how God is at work all around me all the time. I want to be ready for God to blow me away like Simeon and Anna on that day. However, I'm going to confess to you that I am just as prone as anyone else in this room today to miss it. You know, I feel like many days I identify much more with the crowds in the story than I do with Simeon and Anna. You know, when we wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, and there are things to do, and there are places to go, right? There are people clamoring for our attention and emails and texts that are demanding our reply. We go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next, and it's easy for us to go through it. A lot of times, all good stuff, right? But even then, to get to our end of the day and say, you know, like, what just happened? It's hard for us to be sure what we've even done, let alone to notice what God is up to in our world. However, God has given us the gift of certain practices that can help us open our eyes expectantly. He's given us a gift of practices that can help us rev up our sense of wonder rather than letting it wane. And so this week, I would like for all of us together as a community to try out one of these practices. In the scripture, Luke mentions that Anna practiced fasting. He says that she fasted in the temple day and night, right? And I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way before, but fasting is really a form of protest. It's a form of protest in which we as Christians, what we do is we acknowledge, you know what? Our world, it does have dents. You know what? Our world, it does have dings. Our world, it does not work properly, but I'm not settling. I am not giving up. I'm not just going to bide my time until I get to heaven someday. I'm not just going to hold on until God comes and whisks me away. No. Rather, in fasting, we are expressing our hope. We are saying to God, you know, God, we want you to show up and set things right. We are saying to God, I still believe that you want back into this world that you made. I still believe that because of Jesus, that heaven and earth still overlap and that sins can be forgiven, that outcasts can be reconciled, that lives can find significance, and that people can discover divine purpose. And then as we empty ourselves of food, we stand ready to be filled with more of God himself. We're made more alert and more attuned to see where God is at work so that we too can be drawn up into the wonder of what he's doing in our world. So we're going to try this out. If you're up for it, we're going to do it just one day. We're going to do it this Wednesday, and we're going to fast through just one meal. We're going to fast through lunch. And so be on the lookout on Monday through our app and through our social media. We'll be giving you some practical tips on how to fast. But even now, I'm looking forward with great expectation and great anticipation for the ways that we are going to see God at work in our midst and how we're going to find ourselves standing in awe of who he is. This morning, I invite you to come and to stand in awe of the one who would grow from that baby in the temple that day to lay down his very lives, to set things right in our lives and in our world. So I'm going to invite Jeremy to come. And I'm going to invite you to join us in the liturgy on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. In his baptism and in his table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. As those who are assisting this morning come forward, would you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until that day when Christ returns in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, all are welcome to come. Again, we believe that Jesus meets us here. And so would you come, ready to encounter him today and ready to let him reach into the places where you need his grace very most today. We have gluten-free elements available if you would need them, and we'll be receiving by intention. So we'll tear off a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup, and receive it. Would you come now to encounter him? Announcements before we go. First of all, in your bulletin this morning, there was a special postcard for the Embrace Women's Conference. So ladies, if you're interested in that, please check that out. Also, on January 22nd, that's a Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we're going to have a special gathering here at the church for the people of Greenwood to dream a little bit about what God has in store for us in the year ahead. And so I'd like to invite all of you to be here and to be a part of that. But until we're together again, may you go now with expectant eyes, looking and waiting and watching for God to show up this week and to blow you away. Go in his love. Amen.